traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You look like a piece to the people that are like, yo, this guy sitting on millions of dollars, always trying to get attention, and now he doesn't give a fuck about us, so he's not going to speak out about it until this other dude's going to speak out, and now this is going to talk now.
Great question.
Very good question.
The answer is heartbreaking, George. I'll get emotional even speaking about it just now, right now, but this is what broke me. I'll say something. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. This episode is long overdue. We are recording it January 2nd, 2023. Welcome to the new year. Happy new year, everybody. Happy almost birthday, George. You turn 30 tomorrow.
Yeah, last day of my 20s.
Nice. Welcome to 30s Club, buddy. It doesn't get any easier.
Jesus Christ.
great guy, by the way.
Great guy.
Great guy.
He spoke to me, and we're going to get into that. Lot to cover this episode of Impulsive. If you are tuning in just now and you missed the tail end of December, a lot had happened. I believe the last Boys Only episode we were on, I said some pretty harsh things to George about his beliefs and religion overall that people were unhappy about. And the following week, a YouTuber named CoffeeZilla made a 3-part series that he had spent a year making called Investigating Logan Paul's Biggest Scam that caught a lot of traction. He put a lot of work into it, and it was a very well-made series. So today I'll be going on record for the first time in over a year to talk about the debacle that became CryptoZoo and then what we're doing to move forward. If you have not seen the video that I also released in tandem today with this episode, it's essentially a statement that I made about the scam allegations and the scam accusations, because that's some pretty serious shit. I take that very seriously. So if you have not watched that video, I ask you to do that first. But it is a little difficult to dive into it because we know you guys watch Impulsive for fun, laughs, giggles, maybe like the guests we have on our show. And today we're going to be talking about some pretty serious stuff. So if you're not tuned into it, maybe this isn't the episode for you, but it's time this stuff is addressed, and today's the episode for that.
I think by mid episode we'll get into some other stuff, but obviously like this has to be handled, and it's been a rocky end of 2022 and a rocky start for the beginning of 2023. I'm sure tremendously for you, but also for anybody on this team. I'm going to try to take the reins of the opposing viewpoint today, as I generally do on the show. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions that may be, I don't know, easy, hard to answer, whatever. Obviously, you asked Coffee to be on. It was something that he didn't want to do.
Can I give context to the situation? So, first off, I don't know what you're going to ask. I haven't seen these questions.
Sure. I know.
Did you send them to him? You send them to him. And then I'm sure probably maybe you have some. Anyways, let me give some context to this situation. CryptoZoo is a blockchain project that I created about a year and a half ago. And the question everyone's going to be asking is why now? Why talk about this series or this project right now? So again, this YouTuber named CoffeeZilla released a 3-part series. He spent a year making it. And I'll be honest, it was very good. He is entertaining, and he's a very good storyteller. I mean, essentially, if you're making content on YouTube, I assume it's to get views and to get people watching your stuff. I get what he's doing. If you put my name in the title and you label it Logan Paul scam, you're going to get more views. The problem with it is that is not true. And I've made tweets here and there stating my case, but I'm going to give some context with the back and forth that I've had with CoffeeZilla. So here are some receipts. Again, just for context, his name is Steven. The first time he reached out to me was on Christmas Eve after he released his series. He sent a misleading email as highlighted in my statement. He invited me on his show to come talk about CryptoZoo. I chose not to do that because it is now clear to me that he's milking this. Again, why would he not? This is big for him. He caught a lot of traction and gained like 500,000 subscribers. And I'm sure he got a decent amount of money pumping his Patreon. But I am not interested in feeding into that anymore. So we'll be answering the questions that hopefully he was going to ask me and that you're going to ask me today on this podcast. I invited him on Impulsive multiple times and he has not responded. My email to him on December 27th was, "Hey Steven, saw your tweet. Since this entire narrative has unfolded on your platform, I can't imagine you'd mind having this discussion with me on mine. Of course, we wouldn't monetize. This episode of Impulsive is scheduled for January 2nd in LA. We can consider a neutral location if you respond to this email by the weekend. Best logs." He did not respond to me. So I tweeted that saying I hadn't heard back, so I'd be releasing a statement. And then he sent me an email after I called him out. And a text, which I thought was weird, like a cold text. "Hey, Logan, recently got your number. This is CoffeeZilla. I'm forwarding the same message I sent to your email here as well. Hey, Logan, I saw your tweet saying I haven't responded, but that isn't accurate. I asked you for a comment multiple times over the course of a year. You refused. I invited you on my platform. You refused. You invited me on Impulsive. I refused. We're unfortunately at an impasse, so let me try to get us unstuck here because I think people deserve to hear from both of us. I'd like to offer you a co-live-streamed interview about CryptoZoo to respond on tomorrow at 10 a.m. PST so no one has to travel on the holidays, so there's no editing and just us talking one-on-one. This is the most fair and neutral way to do this. I will send you a video link if you agree." Here was my response. I sent him an email after I posted my statement. "Hey, Steven, just wanted to put my response to your scam allegations on your radar, linked below. Even though you broke laws, hardly substantiated your evidence, fabricated dangerously misleading falsehoods, and wrongfully accused me of scamming my fans, I'd still love to host you on Impulsive, again, unmonetized. It can even be one-on-one. Sorry, boys. I'm interested in talking about your workflow, creative process, and of course, CryptoZoo. I did get your email 2 days ago after I called out your failure to respond on Twitter regarding the live stream invitation, and you said, I asked you for comment multiple times over the course of a year, you refused. Any proof of that, or is this another lie? I searched my emails and didn't see any outreach from you until Christmas Eve 2022. You scrubbed the blockchain for a living and somehow managed to text my personal phone number yesterday. I can't imagine you didn't know/have my professional email. I do agree people deserve to hear from both of us, but truthfully, now that your motives are clear, I don't feel like feeding into your hunger for clout on your platforms. You've profited off of and gained plenty from me. I've said everything I've needed to say. The rest will be handled legally and on Impulsive with or without you while we continue to build CryptoZoo. The holidays are over, so I look forward to hearing back in a timely fashion this time. My January schedule is packed. Best logs."
Why did you sign off as logs, by the way? There was a lot of shit for that.
I saw that. Maybe, I think it's easy to pick apart anything I do.
And people are, for sure. It's been happening the entire time.
That's my sign off. I've been signing off like that since high school. Like, my nickname, like everyone calls me Logs. My name is Logan. Yeah. My nickname is Logs.
I'm going to play the other side. The other side's asking why logs. Okay. Besides all the correspondence, that's a lot of correspondence.
That's where we left off. And I do think it's important because... And if you watch my video, hopefully you're seeing this. The guy is good. He is a very good storyteller. Sure. And he is very, very manipulative. Very manipulative. And he's good. He's built an entire career off it. Sometimes he's more impartial than not. I think he probably has an inherent bias against me, which is reflective in his work and in his piece, which unfortunately... has repercussions. If you are perpetuating falsehood and it's affecting someone's business and reputation, and it's affecting the wrong person's business and reputation, that person may take action.
So let's right off the bat, as early as possible here, talk about the two definitions and the two things that are at play. One of them being a scam, the other one being defamation, which can be libel or slander. So... if someone scams a person or an organization, they deceive them in order to get something valuable for them, especially money. That is the definition of scam. So my first question, and this question was answered in his series, it was a 5-second blip that was a part of a probably hour-long of documentary, you know, filmmaking, was how much money did you make off the sale of the coin? Or off CryptoZoo as a project, how much money did you make?
Yeah, this seems to be the biggest misconception, and it is disappointing that that part was glossed over so quickly. Made no money off CryptoZoo. Never sold the token. Jeff never sold the token. Only lost money trying to make things right, along with everyone else in the project. But no money was made. No tokens were sold. And CoffeeZilla even said that in his series. So to answer your question, yeah. No that, money was made that, by Jeff or I.
And just back to the flip side really quick. To me, once I heard that, that seemed just like a kill shot to this entire thing.
Now I'll play the other side.
Sure. And I know what you're going to say. There's a ton more. It's very complex. There's a lot of...
No. I empathize. I totally, totally see why people are frustrated. I'm fucking frustrated. I've been frustrated for over a year. So I'll let you keep going. And again, while we made no money on the project, which I think kills the scam narrative immediately, there is more explaining to do.
What was your intent with CryptoZoo as a project?
I really thought it was going to be the next big thing. It was my first foray into creating a project on the blockchain. My intent was to make the next Pokemon, essentially, you know, on the blockchain. It was purely good. I put 7 months of my time, energy, effort, all of it into this project. And when shit hit the fan, it was devastating. It was heartbreaking. I never acted with malintention. I mean, again, like what was the intent to make money? I mean, I guess maybe eventually, like if you're running a business, I'd assume any intent is to make money off of it. But like, did we ever capitalize financially off of this? Absolutely fucking not.
For people that aren't aware, can you describe the dynamic between the token and the game?
Okay. So the idea was this. Yeah, maybe I should give some context to what the game is. So you buy these eggs on the blockchain, and you can hatch them into what are called base animals. I think there were like 14 or 15 of them. And then you can breed your base animals with each other to create fun-looking viral hybrid offspring that have a rarity scale. If you hatch a rare animal and you breed it with another rare animal, it yields a rare hybrid animal, that animal then yields and collects a token the longer you hold it. Then when you release it into the wild, you accrue your yield. Mm. Does that make sense? That was the concept.
Got it.
And it was based off the idea that people could create these fun animals that didn't exist. And this was another part of CryptoZoo that got ripped apart. People seem to really discount the art, which I felt truthfully wasn't fair.
I was kind of in the middle on that one. It was very basic. Yes, I know
how hard it is to merge animals that do exist into an animal that doesn't exist and make it look like a real animal.
I'll just
say it right now, bro. If you take an animal from CryptoZoo and like a fucking picture of a monkey wearing a hat and go ask like someone on the street, like, hey, which of these is more captivating to you? Something tells me the animal that doesn't exist that looks like a real hybrid animal is probably going
to
win.
Even if someone out there is skeptical or hesitant to call it some sort of insane artistic expression, they at least probably have to agree that it falls within industry, like in the area of industry standards for NFTs at the time. I mean, look at some of the other projects. I mean, shout out Gary, but like, dude, like...
How dare you?
I'm just saying, bro.
Fucking insult V Friends
or Doodles or whatever. I mean, whatever project you want to bring up.
That's
right
why
now,
I
whether
thought,
it's, whether
that's
it's
why
apes found or
this,
whatever.
That's
it
why
was,
I found this argument a little. I felt wasn't quite fair. I'll listen to him, but like, man, if you were to interview and ask my artist what they thought of people just ripping their work to shreds, and by the way, some of them do this. Some of them are like post actively on Reddit hybrid animals, and the hybrid animals thread on Reddit is hilarious and has a bunch of likes and people commenting on it. But the moment that I say it's something that I'm doing, it doesn't work in that context.
I think it was shined in a bad light. I think if it didn't have the negative outline on it, people wouldn't.
No, it started. That was the first critique that happened. For
sure. I actually have a. I want to ask you something. Again, I'm just throwing out other people's point of views. I'm not trying to stick a.
No, you should.
Okay, I'm gonna stick it into you. When I'm looking at this from my point of view, bro, I think you guys are kind of like. You're seeing it from your guys' point of view, which is obvious because it's your point of view and you are not a scammer. You don't hurt people. You don't do these type of things. So it's gonna affect your heart because you didn't do that. And for the world to look at you in that type of way, it's very drowning. It feels like you can't breathe because people are already painting you out to be something you're not. But put a pin in that. Over here are people that root for you, that look at you like somebody they want to be like, they want to achieve like, and so when they invested in your project and they're remember, they don't have our lifestyle. So they're working paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to paycheck. So when they go, fuck yeah, Logan's involved in this. I know it's going to win because I've watched this guy win, win and win and win. And I want to be like this fucking guy. So I'm going to invest my hard-earned money. From their point of view, I get your guys' point of view because you're dealing with a legal team. You're dealing with all the people that did you wrong. But from their stance, they go, how dare you go and open up two other projects when I just wasted my hard-earned money on something that I believed you would do. Mm. So this is a point of view that they don't care what you feel like and what CoffeeZilla feels like. They want to demand answers for their own money.
100%.
So what do you say to the people that watched you make the project where you're taking pictures and all the other projects? Yeah. How does it feel for you in your seat where you leave your team saying, hey, shut up, don't bring this up. We're going to bring this back in the future and all the answers will be explained. How does it feel knowing that you couldn't speak up in time and now you look like this villain, and no disrespect, you look like a piece of shit to the people that are like, yo, fuck this guy sitting on millions of dollars, always trying to get attention, and now he doesn't give a fuck about us, so he's not going to speak out about it until this other fucking dude's going to speak out, and now this cocksucker is going to talk now.
Great question.
Very good question.
The answer is fucking heartbreaking, George. I'll get emotional even speaking about it just now, right now, but this is what broke me. People relied on me to create a project. And when shit wasn't working out and I found out the extent of just how bad things were behind the scenes, I had to rely on my team. I crumbled internally. And the advice was, while actual legal process was going on because of criminal investigation taking place that CoffeeZilla highlighted in his series, I had to stay silent. And for a fucking year, I'm hounding Jeff. How do we make this right? What's the status of the game?
But they Where don't see are we that. At? They don't see that. That's crazy.
The engineer stole the code, who was hired by a fucking con man, a guy that I found out to be a con man, a guy that I had trusted. Not just a guy that I had trusted, a guy that billionaires had trusted, a guy that fooled the Mormon church and the New York Yankees. And now in hindsight, one plus one equals fucking two. I get that. And the advisor, again, that I trusted was selling against my buyers, people that actually wanted to play this game. It was like a mountain that collapsed one after the other, after the other. This massive forest fire would come up. I thought we put it out and then something else would happen. And then my legal team goes, yo, there is criminal investigation going on. It is best to stay silent at this moment. Mm.
So I have another question. I understand your point of view because I'm your friend. I actually was with you when you found out. And I saw how like your face turned white and you slid up against the fridge when you found out. I was there. So that's why I could boldly with my chest out be like, bro, I watched when this guy found the news. But fuck CoffeeZilla, fuck you. No joke. What do we do for the people that were fucked?
I and my team, Jeff, and I'd like you to sit in, Jeff, are working. We are at work and have been working to make this game. And that's part of the solution. Mm. Deliver the fucking project, right? And that's never stopped. There have been massive road bumps and massive obstacles along the way. But that was always the prerogative. Coffeezilla making a series or not. The game is being made. He just assumed we gave up on it, which is not true. However, the answer is yes, George. I'm not a fucking scammer. I have the best intentions. Mm. And I will make this right for the people who believed in me. You know how adamant I was about fixing all of this.
Sure.
And making this right.
Sure.
And for a year I was told I couldn't say anything. And then Coffeezilla series came out and I fucking called you guys and I said, I'm making a statement. I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
I spent days writing this thing. Figuring out how I could A, poke the obvious holes in Coffeezilla's defamation and arguments and manipulation of this story, because at the end of the day, he told a story. Some of it's true, some of it's not. I don't know what to believe from his stuff, and I don't know what not to believe. I found out stuff. I found out things watching his series. Like, dude, I was at the airport when I watched the part where he said Jake had stolen...
Of course.
Six.
I was like, what?
$6 million. I don't know if that's true or not. But I knew he was a bad actor, hence why we kicked him off the fucking team immediately when we found out he was only in it for the money.
Prerogatives, yeah. Things fucking fell apart from Zach to trying to find new devs, realizing that our first lead dev couldn't perform, and then realizing that now there's an investigation going on.
But also you have to understand that it's not simple. I mean, he's trying to bridge the gap here between protecting his client, protecting a project that he's been a part of, you know, getting out whatever information is possible. I've said this a million times. The internet loves to oversimplify very fucking complex issues.
On top of the complex issue that we dealt with, which were issues with people, the blockchain technology, and this is something that's brand new, and what Logan ideated in his head of a really cool idea is actually somewhat complex.
Which is, by the way, hard for me to swallow.
Okay, and
I have a vision and an idea of these things. And then I say, Jeff, here's what I want to make. Here's what I want to do. And then people are put in place to attempt to make that happen. And when it was found out that either A, they had ill intent, or B, were incapable of doing it, and then shit really hit the fan. What do I do? What do I do?
I actually have an answer for that. When you're on the top rope at WWE and you're going like this after a crazy show and the audience is going crazy, when you're bringing Prime into the table and people are drinking it, being like, how the fuck is this product this good? When you're doing these absolute, like, we're watching a superhero kill these side quests day after day after day after day, none of these quests would be completed without your team. And when you win, we celebrate together. What I need this team to start doing is when you guys take a dip, you got to stop pointing the fingers at each other.
When all this broke, when we were in Qatar, I'll kind of remember this. We were in the spa one day and I saw the pain in your, and this, like I said, this is not going to turn into a fucking victim thing. I just want to point this out. I saw this pain in your face, bro. And this like emptiness in your fucking eyes when all this was breaking. And I remember thinking to myself, having been through a couple things, very minor in comparison to the ones you've gone through and are going through now, where I was railroaded by the internet on something that just simply wasn't true. I've been through a chunk of shit in my life, but I honestly don't know if I recall feeling like that. The feeling of not being able to say, yo, this is not what happened. You guys have it wrong. Even though you and everyone around you knows that you're being fucked and being railroaded by an incomplete or unsubstantiated story is one of the most painful fucking things in the entire world. It's terrible.
Where Coffee fucked up is by targeting me as some malicious, evil supervillain. If he had told this story objectively and told the story without vilifying me, regardless, we're still making this right. But in my opinion, that's where it got twisted and hurt the most. Dude, I'm sitting in the seat solely because of my fans. I love them. I'll take any picture you want, unless I'm at dinner. That's my one rule. I'll take any picture you want.
Now you better get your ass up. You better wipe your face and get up. That might be the rule.
I'll listen to the feedback. I'll see it. I want to put smiles on you guys' faces. It's why I do what I do. I love being able to come on these platforms and express myself every week. And if fucking hurts that mission statement that I've had since I was 8 fucking years old posting online was tainted by this dude who had an agenda, who is normally very good at his job, but had an agenda.
I think this is sadly the only direction you could take. Take this really fucking hard on the chin. Learn from your mistakes. Learn that you have to.
I mean, George, we did.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So it's kind of like the Johnny Depp thing. Like, he had to kind of eat shit for a long time until the truth came out. And so right now you have to go into this either court, but regardless, the jury is the audience. Yep. And so I'm trying to bridge that way to show your reality. And your reality is the same dude that would turn to me and drop a $500,000 deal with somebody because he goes, I don't eat fast food. I'm not promoting fast food. So if you were money hungry, you wouldn't give a fuck if it was hurting anybody. You would take the money.
Dog. It is shocking to me that motherfuckers think I'm out here in Puerto Rico with a corkboard, tax, string, graphic images going, here's how we're going to scam. This is how I'm going to make my $1 million this time, motherfucker. I'm not even.
Sounds like a meat. It sounds like a meat.
It's gonna get clipped. Logan Paul admits to everything Coffazilla said.
Bro, Jake, I was talking to Jake about this over Christmas break. I'm glad I got some time to spend with my brother. And he's like, I was like, are you aware of what's happening right now? And he goes, dude, I skipped past the videos. Like, I know you didn't fucking scam anyone. And I go, yeah, but like, everyone thinks I did.
Well, this is what I see, and I could be completely wrong. Biting off more than you chew is kind of almost there, but I don't see it being complete because you're doing things that people don't do. So I don't expect you to stop doing what your nature is to do. And you want to see that new country that's not there or build that thing that's not there. The only thing that would just make a tweak of a difference is you're so creative that you're like, here's the idea, here's the process, here's the vision. Now this person's gonna do this, person's gonna do this, I'm gonna move on, and you're a creative. So all I would say is now is just like those the dev team, pick one person that is your right hand and make sure that person is every day. If this guy shits or eats a sandwich at lunch, I want to fucking know.
I mean, George, again, we did. It's part of the reason Originals worked so well. Mm. We found the guy and he's fucking good. And we found a team that we can actually rely
trust
on to get things
most
done.
Important,
and then
trust.
And then also that was a learning process for me because Originals is a relatively easy project. I think it's easy to understand anyways, right?
Yeah.
One picture
not easy build.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. One picture goes so live a day. Complex. It's a 24-hour auction. The next goes up. This thing took months to build and there were so many delays and I was frustrated with the build. But again. As is always going to be the case.
Sure,
Jeff, because I'm reporting directly to you and you're reporting directly to me.
Of course. But it was
a learning for me in that fuck, dude, tech is hard. Holy fucking shit. I remember ESPN was down the one time we were trying to watch one of the biggest fights ever.
No.
What?
Tennis.
Oh, the
US Open.
US Open. ESPN was down. ESPN Plus or whatever the fuck. And Jeff goes, hey, just so you know, this is ESPN. It's one of the biggest content syndication organizations in the world. And they don't even have this shit down.
But we also,
and here we
also don't know whether it was the tech that was sending it into ESPN or was it ESPN?
The point is tech is hard. I realized that and learned that the hard way. And so yeah, I guess to kind of answer your question, I'm a lot more cognizant now of exactly how hard it is to make the stupid little visions that I have in my head come to life.
Okay, so wrapping this up for at least, I think, right? For now. Because I'm just curious what else is there's going to be about this, like where this goes, where the story goes. Once it's been determined that there was not malintent, a scam did not take place, there was a misfire or some sort of, you know, malpractice on behalf of some of the people involved in the project who will be held accountable, and there is a plan moving forward. Does it sound like those are the four main pillars of what's happening here?
Exactly. I would say there's been a plan moving forward.
A roadmap.
Yeah. CoffeeZilla happened to make this series
in the middle of it.
And now it appears reactionary, but this has been happening. So that's where the defamation piece comes into play, which is number five and six. We've given Zilla part four. He's probably going to milk the shit out of this. He's probably going to talk to more people who lost money. And that's where this also gets tricky, because I'm not sure what he's fabricating or if people are genuine about what they're saying, because he doesn't verify backgrounds or, like I said, substantiate any evidence. So he's probably going to put people who have lost here on a pillar and highlight them. That's what I would do if I were him. I'd milk the shit out of this. And like I said, he's probably going to. He's good. He's very good. But part six is the more he says and the more he continues to spread this misinformation that this was any sort of con or scam, the more I have for the lawsuit that I am filing. The defamation lawsuit. That is fucking happening, because this is wrong. This is fucking wrong. And there's a reason. There's a reason he won't come on this show. And he knows it's because he can't lie to me with his chest out while sitting in front of me.
And saying that you are a scammer.
Fuck,
you are a
fraud. Dog.
What about the people that say, like, why don't you just do it live on his platform?
I am not feeding into this anymore on his shit. Mm. Because he did not change the course of my direction at all. He happened to make this series. It's not changing what we have been doing and are doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What he did do is got me to speak about it. And I'm actually grateful for that.
I was about to say, this is kind of like a good light,
I'm actually grateful for that. I do thank CoffeeZilla for shining a light on what even he highlighted and made in his year's worth of research in a 3-part series, is that this situation is so fucked, so beyond fucked. You could make an entire documentary out of it. In fact, he did. But now I'm in a place where I actually do have to thank him for shining light on this. He just messed up by pointing the finger 100% at me and saying that there was any sort of fraud or scam taking place intentionally. Not even taking place intentionally, just taking place on my behalf.
Why did you block him on Twitter?
It's like a little gnat. It's like a little fucking annoying gnat, and it bothers me. He won. He got to me, bro. He's the most formidable opponent I've had. I'm not kidding. The guy's good. He's very smart.
He's very smart.
He manipulates and twists the truth just the way he wants to get his people to believe a certain thing. He's good.
I think it's
marketing. In a way, hiding behind the veil of, I don't make money off this platform. I'm doing God's work. I'm doing justice. By the way, go sign up to my Patreon. Go join my Patreon. We're gonna see the behind the scenes of my $10 million studio. $10 million studio. You got $10 million? Where did that money come from? I don't think so, pal.
I think he might be saying that sarcastically.
He rented it.
So you're saying he embellished or like rounded up?
I think he just says it sarcastically. It's like a joke.
But it's in his descriptions on his Patreon, which I joined. He kicked me off though.
He refunded your money.
It's actually funny. He said he kicked me off, and he had a couple zingers on Twitter. He kicked me off. It was like, who knows where that money came from?
I'm gonna be honest. You got washed. You've been getting washed.
He smoked me. He smoked
washed
me.
On Twitter.
I'm telling you, he's fucking good. He's a very formidable opponent. Yeah, he's if good. I were him. And I didn't like me in the same way that he doesn't like me, and also realizes how much he can gain from putting me in his thumbnail and his title, I'd probably be doing the same thing.
Okay, question. And just to bring this up, because I think it's a good transition point. Regardless of how strong his point was, or some of the points he made, or how he was able to spin it, whatever you want to say, or whoever wants to say it, there is always and will always be an army that is ready for Logan Paul to make a minor mistake. Now, it was so timely and convenient that the 3-part series dropped when you were already boiling in an unholy baptism of shit because of what you had said on the show before it.
Let me tell you something.
And so I want to change gears a little bit.
Look at this guy.
And get ready.
To quote Logan Paul, present thyself.
Because yes,
I want to.
Well, you very much were are Germany right now fighting a two prong battle. I mean, you've got your battle in Africa and Russia, and you've got a different front where you're fighting for Jeff. When you make that face at me when I'm saying stuff, it's strange to me. Actually, do you have anything else to say about CryptoZoo?
Trying to understand.
Get out of here. I'm talking, bro, and you're making this face like this.
Africa and Russia.
Do you know what a two-front war is?
Yes.
Am I speaking a different language?
I just was okay.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I was joking.
Sorry.
No, actually, I'm sorry.
I was trying to understand what he was talking about.
Seats hot, huh? Okay, let's dive in.
Okay.
Look, here's what happened.
So yeah, you were already, I mean, the scum of the internet at that point before this even came out. You were trash. It was a wrap.
I'll tell you why. If you didn't know, you probably do. I made some pretty
he's gonna go
pretty out of line comments to George about George's beliefs. And I said, I'm not going to say what I said. I'm not even going there again because I'll tell you why. The following 3 weeks have been the hardest period of my fucking life. Buddy, God kicked me in the dick as hard as he fucking could.
We call that a godsmack.
I went, son. There's no way. We started off in Qatar. I got violent food poisoning.
Oh, before that, camera taken away at the airport.
Oh yeah,
immediately.
Yeah. $20,000 camera taken. So, we were invited by Qatar. We landed in Qatar. Camera stripped from us. All right, fire. $20,000 camera. All right, no problem.
Which you got?
We got it back a couple days later. But we get to my hotel. It's just little things here and there. Things aren't showing up. We misscheduled. Again, got violent fucking food poisoning. Next day, got alcohol poisoning. Our luggage was delayed, so we had no clothes to get to our events. Qatar was the first time I felt the wrath of God. And then the Zilla stuff dropped. And I had some shit happen in Denmark when I was supposed to meet my girlfriend's parents.
Me and you got in a scuffle.
Wait.
Outside the game.
Oh, me and Mike got in a massive fight. I got in his face because Nina put her finger. She's a pointer. And she put her finger in Mike's face, and Mike rightfully so goes, "Get your finger out of my face." And then I instinctual go, "What the? I'll smack the fuck out of you. That's my girl." And
no, you said, "Now my finger's in your face. What are you gonna do about it?"
That sounds more like.
And I literally just said, "I'm going to go in the game now," and I walked away. But it was just a representation of just how horrible things had gotten.
Listen, ironically, I defamed Jesus and God, and I felt His wrath. And by the way, I want to make something clear, and I have something I'd like to say to you that I've been thinking about, but I'm gonna say that for a sec because I want to hear your take on this. But I'm not a fucking atheist. I believe in God. People think I don't believe in God. It might not identify as the same God as you, but it was very telling to me how the karmic energy of the universe. This is what I'll call it. Just went right back around and put me in my place.
You want me to tell you something? I'll make this quick because people tend not to love when I talk about Jesus. But let me just tell you something. Actually, no, I don't want to come off like condescending. This is actually how I feel. Because I came off like funny, but I don't want people to think I'm telling a joke. The night before it happened, bro, I'm sitting and I'm reading the Bible. And I literally say a prayer to God. And I go, man, like, this is when me and you were kind of like going back and forth and I was getting pissed at you. And I was like, fucking dude, God, I know you love him, but I want to kill him. I want to punch him in the face.
Can I?
I want to hurt. Wait, hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
But I know you don't want me to. And I know you love him. And I know this opportunity between two best friends could open a lot of people's eyes to who God is. So I sat there and I said, God, whatever direction. And by the way, I was getting so much heat for the Bobby Lee thing, for walking off. This was the period, right? So I sat there and I go, God, I go, what do you want from me, bro? And I swear I have two witnesses. God says, be quiet and love. And I was just like, whoa. And like, bro, like I felt it, right?
Wait, who are the witnesses?
Watch. So I'm in the kitchen, Belle's cooking dinner. And I sat there and I go, Belle, I think God just talked to me. Like, I'm not trying to be like a lunatic. And she goes, what do you mean? And I go, I think and hear me out. I think I just got to talk out of love. I got to talk out of love. And she's like, why do you keep saying that? And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like I got to talk out of love. And it was so strong in my heart, bro. I left my Bible and my phone right by Belle. And I sat on the couch and I'm just sitting off and I'm like, bro, what does he want from me? What does he want from me? What does he want me to do? How can I fix this? How can I go and portray Jesus in the best way possible? I get a phone call. I miss it because I'm over here. Another phone call. She goes, hey, Adam is blowing up your phone. The guy who works, you know, from the chiropractor place. And I answer the phone. He's dripping wet, bro. Like he just got out of the shower. He goes, bro, I got to tell you something. He goes, whatever you're doing, Jesus told me to tell you that he loves you and yes. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I go, why did you just say that? Belle put her knife down. I go, buddy, back up. Why did you say that? He goes, I have no idea what's going on. I'm in the shower because that's why he was wet. He goes, I'm praying about my family, my friend. He goes, three times in my prayer, God interrupted me. He goes, go tell George whatever he feels in his heart is right. So I go, whoa, the next day I'm standing here on the podcast and you're saying this shit. And I'm like, whoa, he's really like spewing out his heart. Like he's really spewing out his heart. And two things I caught in our conversation that we were having. When I said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, you said, he's mine too. And that rang in my heart. I go, that's weird. Because like we're not seeing that on the same page. And then you were fighting that I needed a therapist and that the Bible wasn't enough. And I said, I think the Bible has more knowledge than any man. And you said, I think that has merit to it.
Wait, say that again. Please say that again.
That the Bible has more wisdom than a man who's trying to like...
Or a therapist.
And you said, yeah, I believe that has merit to it. And it was at that moment, bro, where I was like, oh my God. Like we're learning... So how I see it is God has an arrow, right? And I'm sitting here thinking I'm right and you're sitting there thinking you're right. And I had a habit of speaking out of like, yo, I have to convince you, I have to do this. But sometimes it didn't come from love because I'm convicted and I'm just trying to like help you. And then you're like, nah, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. And all we had to learn is like, regardless of what you say and regardless of what I say, speak out of love. Speak out of love. So then when the whole world went from like, look at this pussy, he doesn't know how to talk, he's so stupid, he talks about Jesus, he walks off. And then you did what you did. And then God literally took the whole world and flipped it on its head. And it was right at the moment where I was like battling. I'm like, God, like you gave me everything that I have to sit in this chair. I go, am I speaking too much about you? Are people getting annoyed? Like, what's the deal? What's happening here? And to be honest, bro, like it just came to the conclusion of this. There is a very, very, very real God. I don't care who stands before me now. There is a very real God. And if anything, Logan, you should take away that, bro, like the Japan thing was one thing, but you're a good-hearted person and you learned from that and you moved on. And a lot of people in the comment section was like, Logan doesn't deserve George. George should leave and go do another podcast. And I sat there and I really mean to say this from my heart, bro. Like, what kind of man are you that when your friend says something or does something that you're like, okay, now the one time he fucks with me, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not... Like it really made me realize that we are in a generation fueled by burn the neighbor that's next to you. And I just wanted to take the time to say thank you for everything you've given to me. Thank you for the opportunity you've given to me. I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through. But God loves you and he is still with you regardless of the situation that you put yourself in. Regardless in the light that you want to paint yourself in, there is a very real God that will walk through this journey with you. Even though the whole world turned against you, that God is right near you. Neither him or me or Mike or any single person here will ever abandon a man like you because you're not worth abandoning and I love you.
God damn. I love you, bro.
Maybe not the... If you could say anything else, yeah, besides the Lord's name.
That was probably horrible to say
just
that
no,
right
it's,
after that. Right? Yeah. That's how I speak. Listen, I fucking love you. That was incredible. And I feel it. I feel it, George. Like, I feel God's presence in my life. I just don't identify as this particular thing. And my God might not be the same as yours. Maybe it is. I don't fucking know.
But there was a learning curve for you.
100%. And I just wanted to say the reason that I was upset with you was just because of the one comment that you misheard. Mm. The one comment that I actually think it was dangerous. And this was part of that clip that was going viral. Although like my whole attitude towards you was not appropriate. The part where you said, you told me I need a therapist because I believe in Jesus. which I said George, is that you misheard that. That's not what I said. That is a dangerous belief to say. But since you said it, and it's ironic on the podcast, I let you finish it and then I corrected you, but no one clipped the correction, right? That doesn't fit.
I think the direction of where your mindset is what people saw. I don't think it's just
I agree. However, and I'm gonna say something here, but like, again, I believe what I believe. How I said it was fucked up.
Yeah.
And that particular clip bothered me because that wasn't something that came out of my mouth.
Yeah. You were painted in a direction that you weren't painted in.
Exactly.
Somewhat might say how you paint Jesus. So maybe you tasted the medicine.
Yeah, I like that. Or Christians in general. That's an interesting point. Okay. But I have to back him on that. The statement was, you need a therapist because Jesus ain't doing it for you. And the viral clip was you saying that he said you need a therapist because you believe in Jesus.
And I was upset with you because that twisting of just like words in a sentence is fucking dangerous and not what I said. And it really changes the sentiment of what I was saying. But however, and you said it, and we spent a couple hours on the phone. We hashed it out. A day to what, 2 days after the podcast?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it ended in like, yo, I fucking love you. We're homies, like day ones. And this is how I believe any good friendship should have its bumps. It's what makes the friendship stronger. And what you said, we're both learning from each other. And I learned so fucking much from you. And that's what's important to me, which I was fine taking that heat online because you sleep in the bed you make. Mm. And I made that bed by being a fucking dickhead to you. And I'm fine with that. Mm. I'm fine with that. What I wasn't okay with was something that I didn't say, twisted a certain way, almost in the same way CoffeeZilla was doing. That's what hurt me. But what matters to me the most, bro, because I'm no stranger to controversy online, and I understand that everything is it's just a matter of time. This too shall pass, right?
Yeah.
And I'm here learning and growing and trying to be the best person that I can be. The difference is I'm doing it all in front of y'all. The most important thing to me was the relationship that I have with you.
Yeah.
And the fact that we were able to reach a common ground as we always do, which is I think why I'm so comfortable being so blunt with you sometimes. I shouldn't have done it in the way that I did it.
Yeah.
As long as we're good, dude, I'm happy. I'll take all the heat online. And
I do want to say one last thing. I learned a lot from you. We have two different point of views in life. And we pick off of each other. A lot of people don't see that because it's behind cameras, but I really want to speak to the people that are willing to listen. And I say that because a lot of people aren't. But be careful how you treat the people around you, bro. Because it will come full circle towards you. No one's perfect. When I sat across my best friend and he had his point of views, I respected everything he says. Now, there's a lot that has to do with it's not what you say, it's how you say it. But bro, grow the fuck up. Grow up.
No, I think that's a bad thing to say.
Well, just hear me out. Just no, one second. Let me just finish.
Because it derails everything he just said. How you say something is everything.
True.
What you say is nothing. True. It's all in how you say
it. Fair enough. But there's a lot of passion that goes behind politics and religion. And if you can't separate somebody's passion, this becomes war. So what I want to see is, I want to see people that see from Logan's point of view, that's like, hey, you know what? I grew up in a situation where my best friend was gay, so I don't love the religion that you serve because why push this guy aside or blah, blah, blah. His feelings and his directions doesn't mean he's the only one that feels this way. So even though the Christian community came and backed me, Muslims backed me, Jewish people backed me, I love it. But what we should be fighting for is, bro, equal love. If you worship a God or you don't worship a God or you see a painting and you see it in a way that nobody else will see it, your point of view is not greater than your neighbor's. No other religion, no, I don't believe that you have to be a part of something and say it's this or nothing, because nobody's point of view, nobody's religion, and nobody's love should ever dictate the neighbor next to you. And if you're not mature enough or educated enough to hear somebody's point of view and just take it with love and be like, okay, yeah, it's not for me or it is for me, then look yourself in the mirror and be like, what am I contributing to this earth? Because it ain't love. Because I could sit with any single man in front of me, I don't care how sinful he is, and we could have a great conversation. And I was broken that the whole world watched me and you come up from Vine and say, nah, it's the time that he leaves. That is heartbreaking. Because that just shows me that we're living in a world where somebody can mess up and be like, nah, this guy needs to die. This is like witch hunting. Back in the day, if you didn't like somebody, you said, nah, he's a witch. And then they would burn him.
I just don't want, I don't want that to like get too like far in that direction, because it's important that people watch, see what happened, and really understand that that type of conversation shouldn't happen. Like, the world is becoming nastier and nastier every fucking day. People are being very mean to each other out there, and everybody out there is going through something. Everybody out there is going through something. Look at anybody in the room, any person in here that I look at, they're going through some evil, some demon that no one else in the world knows about. And people really, really, really need to start checking themselves and how they talk to other people. We all need to start respecting each other a little bit more and being a little bit kinder and nicer to each other.
1,000% But there is going to be a day, Mike, where you, Logan, me, anybody here is going to have a bad day. And this is where empathy and sympathy should kick in. This guy talked to me in a really disrespectful way, but God, I pray that whatever he's dealing with, he deals with it.
And I saw some of those. I did see some of those comments, which was good. I saw some people that were like, listen, I'm a diehard Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I was deeply offended by what Logan said, but I don't demonize him. I condemn his actions, but I don't want to say, oh, fuck this dude, I'm leaving him forever. He's clearly going through something. And honestly, like, that moment on the podcast was the start of a mini redemption situation for him. Like, that led to a couple weeks of really intense conversation and soul searching and digging into how you are and how you approach and how you deliver and all of that stuff. So without all of that stuff happening, it would have actually been a bad thing, because he would have continued to tiptoe that line.
Listen,
I had talked to him in the week leading up to that every day about that shit. I have 100 text messages. Yo, the way this is being delivered, the way you're joking about this, the way you're saying this shit to George has to stop. I was texting him on the side, in group chats, everything. And until that happened, no change was going to be made. That was a learning lesson. The question that I got, which was interesting, from so many people, so many content creators, so many, you know, fellow podcast hosts, so many people from the audience even, was how the fuck does that podcast see the light of day? I had so many people ask me, how does that podcast go out?
Because God gives wisdom and he took it back. I will say the same thing that happened in Japan, and I'll say the same thing now. You worship your brain, and not in a bad way. You find, because when you walk in a room, you realize quick, like, I'm a little smarter than these guys. I'm quicker than
these
guys.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I wasn't going.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to let
you. Can I finish? Yeah, can
I? Nah, bro, I believe that.
George, let me finish this point.
I'm not going to let you do that.
But it's true,
well,
bro.
Also,
how did it go past so many people? You're saying it's going to take the wrong way?
I'm not going to let you try to explain how I feel about my intellect.
No, I just said wisdom was taken away.
Yeah, you said some other shit about how I feel about when I walk into a room.
Not true. Every single person feels this way. It's not just you. So if you made it seem like it was just you, my bad.
I'm gonna start to push back on when you.
Absolutely. I'll use myself as an example, so I don't offend.
I was like going somewhere with that question.
My bad. I'm just saying that just real quick, humans worship themselves. And I said this in the podcast before. They worship themselves because they're the only people that are hearing and seeing from their point of view.
Right.
So they think their point of view is right. But I just have to say, it's kind of ironic, bro. Like, just like the same thing. It was a learning curve, but it needed to pass. If it didn't pass through other people, all these other people being like, nah, I think this is good to post. All of us, I said it on the podcast and after the podcast, do not post this podcast. It's not going to look well. But everybody else is like, nah, it has to go. I'm just pointing
out.
Did
that happen?
Yes, it's on the podcast.
I don't think anyone else.
I said this should be behind closed doors. I said this on the podcast.
I feel like I remember you saying that.
And then off the podcast, yeah. I go, hey, man, this is going to be a little tough. And you said it's therapeutic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So that's where I was going with my question that I was lobbing up that you stole from me.
Sorry.
What I was going to say was we actually try on this show to have conversations that should be had behind closed doors, because we find that to be fun and sometimes therapeutic, cathartic, and more so just entertaining and interesting for the audience. That one potentially could have not gone out, but that's not the place that we're in. That's not, we don't do that.
I'm not going to shy away from something I say, even if it's delivered fucking poorly. Part of me and my journey online as a content creator is being authentic, whether it's I'm having an off day and I'm being a fucking dickhead that day and it goes online, Like it's really fucking funny because the whole like Logan Paul is a part of the Matrix.
Oh,
fucking says what's scripted in front of him. Like I'm actually the person who's saying the shit I probably shouldn't say if I wanted to be like respected and loved by everyone. I have gotten to where I am today by being authentic to myself. And that comes with a journey full of many ups and many downs online. And I'm simply not going to shy away from that.
You shouldn't. No, you can never learn if you do.
I'm not going to. That, exactly, bro. This is my fucking journey. And I'll take the heat and I'll sleep in the bed that I make. And that day, I even said it. Play the podcast back so many times. I need to go home. Get me off this set. Like, I knew something was off. I walked in that podcast that day way too fired up and way too misaligned with goodness and positivity and beneficial conversation.
That's it.
And I still sat on a fucking podcast unfiltered and said what was on my mind at the time. So probably shouldn't have exited my mouth.
What would you do? Would you have paused the pot, like taken an hour to relax? Like, what would you do differently? Very tactically, just a curiosity.
Super tactically. And this is, I've asked myself this question as well, right? Because I have to go to work, bro. I have a job.
Same as me.
It is to make a program for people to watch. I need to be more honest with myself about where I'm at mentally and understand and read a room better no matter how I'm feeling. Like I mean, exercise empathy. God damn it. Here we are.
Are you starting to learn a little bit more about that term? Like, do you feel like this is teaching you about it? I'm not making any claim. I'm just asking you a curious question about continuing to build upon empathy that you already have, because I've been thinking a lot about this term lately, empathy. Everybody always talks about it and tries to come up with a way to explain it. And it's oftentimes hard for me to explain it because it is so ingrained in my fucking soul that it's like you trying to explain love. I can't remember the last time I was in love. You are in love. If I asked you to explain it, like really, really intimately explain it, I guarantee you it would be semi-problematic to explain it to someone who truly doesn't feel that emotion as much right now. One emotion I dramatically feel all the time is empathy. And I've been thinking about a way to colorfully animate and like define it recently. And I think the definition I came back to was the idea of anyone else suffering makes you suffer. That was the easiest way I could come up with to define empathy. Mm. If I see someone suffering, it doesn't make me stop. It doesn't make me think. It doesn't make me question this or question that. It makes me suffer. I immediately and intimately feel their pain in my soul, in the pit of my stomach, in my heart. And so, like, I don't really know how that type of emotion can be taught. I don't know if that's something that you can transfer to another human being. Besides, as I said, and this is what makes this interesting, through learning, through shit like this. Mm. And so the more fucking times you get your ass beaten in life and have everything ripped away from you or rip everything from yourself, like it was in my case, the more you start to empathize with other people's lives. And that's why, and I know George has God as an example for this, but for me, when I see a fellow friend or human or you know, person in this world make a mistake or have a rough past or go through a rough path in life or use bad judgment, I'm automatically empathetical for that person because I know what it's like to fuck up dramatically time and time again. And to be there, like, I can't get this right, bro.
Is that why you came to be my big brother after Japan? Because I'll always be so grateful that you did that. Because you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to put your good paying corporate job aside to come live with the most, at the time, hated man on the planet and, you know, mentor him to success and be the voice of reason that he needed at that time. Is that why you did that?
Even if if it was, and I tell you on this podcast right now, no one's going to believe me. So if you want to talk about
I've always thought you did it just for suck the cloud out of the car.
Can we watch the Meat Canyon video now?
No. I want to say one thing.
Of course, there was. You've asked me this question on the podcast a million times. I will never lie to you and say that there was not 400 different factors involved.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, I saw a potential for a better life for myself.
I'll give you a layup, bro.
Yes, Logan. The only reason I came on the team is to help you be a better person.
I came on the team to join the Matrix.
No, of course, me too. That's no, but. But this is just another example of something that will teach you. And as you, it's once again been a interesting week for me and a great week or two for me, no matter how painful it has been and having to deal with the public sentiment and all that shit, to once again be able to sit next to you through this fucking tragic roller coaster that this internet lifestyle can become. We have been on the phone for the past 2 weeks at 3 a.m. Denmark time, 8 a.m. Pacific fucking times, 2 a.m. Puerto Rico time, working on how we climb out of this shithole together. And I'm every day, no matter what happens, proud to be your friend. And I know you. And as George stated earlier, I know that you don't have malintent. I know that. I know you're not here to scam. I know you're not here to fuck up your friends. You just have a few things that you need to continue to work on, and I'll be here to help you continue to work on them.
Thank you, Mike.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, man. I'm not perfect, nor do I wish to be. And I'm not afraid to shy away from that. Can I say one last thing to wrap up this
segment?
This religious conversation with you, George? Mm-hmm. Because I've been compiling my thoughts and you know, asking myself like what I was like trying to say that episode and why I was so aggressive toward you and had been. And among the many things I've been writing in my notes, I've gathered a lot of thoughts and I'd like to say them to you now. Mm. And I said this to you off camera, but I'll say it on camera. From the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry.
I appreciate that.
My attitude towards you on that episode and my belittlement of your beliefs was not appropriate at all. Not as a podcast host, especially not as a friend. I had made the mistake of assuming that the part represents the whole in terms of the intolerance that does exist in your religion. Every Christian I know, pretty much, is incredibly warm, loving, accepting, and forgiving, including my devout mother. And I also recognize that it's a source of so much hope and purpose for people. And it was wrong to be dismissive of that. I do want to say the following though, because it's important to me. Mm. Yes, I do think it's a shame that the scripture says homosexuality is a sin. I don't agree with that. Yes, I do think it's a shame that the scripture says worshiping any other deity than Jesus is a sin. I don't agree with that. As you know, I also don't believe it's an incredibly progressive practice to deny scientific evidence and evolution in favor of creationism. And I have a right to believe what I believe, mm-hmm. which again, as you know, is in a God, mm. like a higher power, universal energy, creator, whatever you want to call it. And while the God that I believe in might not be the same as yours or Mike's or anyone in this room, the point is we all believe something, and no matter how much conviction as individuals we have that our truth is the truth, at the end of the day, nobody knows. However, my angst towards the parts of organized religion that I don't agree with was directed solely at you and that was not fair. But if your character and your belief system is rooted in positivity and it gives you purpose in this incredibly confusing and difficult world, it deserves respect. And I know how loving you are, and I respect you, and I'm sorry, bro, I fucking love you.
I love you too. And apology 100,000% accepted.
I was going to ask for a hug, but that's so
I'll end it with this. Whether your God to be true or whether my God to be true, a greater power gave us free will. So I'm never going to strip it from you. Speak your heart, speak your mind. Same with me. And that's all I fight for, is because you have takeaways that I could grow from and I have takeaways you could grow from. And if we could just do the journey together instead of bumping heads and just really respect each other as now we see and now we're capable of doing, the journey becomes beautiful. Same journey. It just now there's no animosity or like weirdness. Like it, regardless, and I feel bad for saying this, regardless of the situation that happened, it's made our relationship in my eyes a lot stronger.
As it always does.
It always will, George. Yeah, it always will. And that's why, again, like I think a lot of people maybe shy away from those conversations with their friends or even are afraid to check their friends like you guys do often to me, and especially on that episode. I'm not. And I value my circle and my friendships that I have number one in my life. It's the most important thing to me. I'm blessed with the people I have around me. I made a 2022 year in review video that I didn't post. Fuck. It was called 2022 was the best year of my life.
You gotta stop making these fucking videos, bro.
No, because it really was. It really was. 2022 was the best year of my life. It didn't necessarily end the way I wanted it to, but I'll sleep in that bed and I'm going to release it. But I even say in it, my circle is like one of the things I'm most thankful for in my life, and has yielded an amazing life for me. And I'm so, so grateful for you guys. And I will always have the tough conversations with you, as you know, because I know the type of mending and growing they can do for two people who love each other. And I would encourage any person to have those tough conversations with their friend. We had one today, bro. We had a tough ass conversation today. We did it. And we got through it. And guess what? You're right.
When I had a delivery.
Yeah.
Yes. As long as it's always done with respect. I mean, even like as far as the statement on you know, we're all in agreement that you know, we've been put here by a higher power, which obviously I agree with, and I'm in the same boat as you. But there's even a whole shitload of people out there that believe otherwise from that don't believe in any kind of higher power. And as long as you have a conversation with those people with respect and with love, then that belief set is even okay. No one's trying to force anything down each other's throats. We're all just trying to coincide and coexist together and be cool and share love with each other and share this planet.
Amen. My fire comes from when I feel intolerance being perpetuated.
And I get that. I understand that. And I think that if you had done a better job calling it out in a manner that wasn't disrespectful to George, or by the way, even in a more important manner, lumping everybody together into that same acceptance or promotion of intolerance, then that would have been accepted. I mean, look at it, for example, like you've got comedians out there, not to bring a lighthearted part into it, but not lighthearted, but a joking manner, that talk shit about Catholic priests and their issues with schoolboys. And they make jokes about that all the time. But because they're done in a certain delivery and as a joke by a comedian and not hurting someone specifically, they fly all the time. You know what I'm saying? So you can say a lot of shit. It's not about what you say. It's about how you say it. It's about how you deliver your fucking content. Mm. And so calling out intolerance is completely acceptable. There's nothing wrong with finding something, picking it apart as it exists, but you just can't blanket statement. You can't lump people in together.
I want to bookend this with
what a funny picture.
No, I got a letter from a passenger on a plane, went kind of in the midst of all this. granted, as a fault of my own, but this was something I really appreciated at this time in my life, and like really, really appreciated, and I appreciate it now, obviously, but like I needed to hear this at the time. I think we were on a flight back from Denmark to the States, I think. And this kid sitting next to me handed me this note. And I had no idea what it was going to be. I think I was in such a negative headspace that time. I was positive it was going to be something talking shit, telling me to go fucking die or some shit.
What fucking balls on that kid if he did. Just imagine the plane didn't land and he goes, hey, read this, dickhead. And he just sits back, buckles up.
It's like, dear Logan, a.k.a. Agent of the Matrix. He owns you. You are an L plus ratio. Love little Johnny from 7C.
That's what I thought. So this kid hands me this note and I read it. I posted this on Twitter. Dear Logan, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sure you'd just like to have a normal and relaxing flight. I'd just like to say your videos helped me through a rough patch in my life and I will always be grateful. You made me laugh when I needed it. And although I don't know you personally at all, it was always clear to me that you have a kind heart and you are a good person. I hope this isn't too presumptuous of me to say. While I have you here, I'd also like to wish you a Merry Christmas and happy holiday season. And in general, wish you a happy and fulfilling life. You are a very beautiful person, and I really hope you know that. Love, Lane Schlegel. P.S. I also recommend you check out the book, The Pocket Pima Cauldron, it looks like. It helps me more than words can describe, and I hope it can be of use to you. Dude, I started crying in my seat, which, as you know, is uncommon for me.
Because you're a robot.
Some say. One tear from each eye. I tracked it.
You bottled it up. It was currently for sale.
And what was your headspace at? Like, did you see the kid afterwards? Did you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I read this note and like, my heart was so full of warmth. I guess tears were the only way I knew how to handle it. And I immediately went to just gratitude. And I spoke with him afterwards and I was like, dude, I know you don't know me, but I really needed to hear this right now. You don't understand how much this means to me. And he's like, yeah, man. I just felt something was telling me to write that to you. And we got in a conversation studying anthropology at a university. And I told him that it was just insane how the reciprocation of energy that had taken place with me at a point in his life,
you being there for him and him being there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, I was a light for him. And then when I needed it, he was a light for me. Get these fucking cameras out of my face.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Think we're shooting a podcast?
Who is this kid? He's becoming a human.
Just crazy how the universe works, man. And I told him that. Don't fucking delete that.
I just needed proof. I needed to show people that you're capable of.
And I just couldn't be more grateful. Just crazy. I saw it unfold in real time, man. No one's ever written me a note that nice.
My favorite part of it was this kid has this most meaningful moment ever. He's crying. He fucking gets this note. He's so excited about it, so touched by it. And he thinks that he's going to go post it on Twitter and get any kind of like sentimental, like kind, heartfelt reaction.
No, he bro, doesn't need not the tissues. Fucking posted
no, sorry,
it, right?
sorry. That's not what I meant. Not like as the reason, but like assuming that people would see that you were clearly impacted by it in such a positive way.
No, I just wanted to share something nice, bro. I think that's another reciprocation of energy.
100%.
Like I had people from my high school reach out to me that I hadn't talked to in forever, and they're like, I just wanted to say that note was so sweet. I bought the book. And then they were saying, like, I bought the book. Like that affected people. What? And I got clowned.
No, that's what
clowned.
I'm sorry.
I got made
sorry,
fun of. They think I wrote it to
yeah,
myself.
Yeah, they were like, nice job,
it was
Logan.
Like, I thought you wrote it. I wrote it to myself.
Dude,
it's
all
like
the comments,
like a Twitter, a tweet, or a Twitter page. It's like, didn't happen university.
Yes, like 80 people tagged it. At didn't happen university.
He wrote that shit with his left hand, bro. You can tell.
I was reading it, and I was like, yo, this kid is getting smacked around
slaughtered. That's not why I posted, bro.
That's not what I meant.
Hey, and this will transition to you. Contrary to popular belief, I'm living my life. I'm posting it online. I'm sharing my experiences. I'm being authentic to myself. And I'm not part of the Matrix.
Fucking prove it, bro.
I'll tell you why, how I can prove it. If I was a part of the Matrix, I would give a fuck and play by the rules and be safe with what I say. No, I'm going to be me. I'm going to learn in front of you. I'm going to listen to my friends and take the feedback that I need to be the person that I want to become. This Matrix stuff, I think it's funny, but I mean, look at the past month. Look at my life.
Why does it have to be the Matrix, bro? Because why could it have been any other movie?
I'll tell you.
Why did they pick that movie? It could have been Happy Gilmore. It could have been anything. Anyways, 2023 is here.
Ooh.
We made it to the new year.
Yeah.
Barely. A shit fucking New Year's Eve. But I want to touch really quickly. Does anyone have any big New Year's resolutions? I started a really tough program today, and I want to get your guys' feedback and the feedback of the audience as to whether you think that I'm actually going to make it. We're actually going to put a poll on the screen right here, and you could choose if you think that I'm going to make it or not. But it's called 75 Hard, and it's really tough, dude. It's like the highest level of fucking discipline, I think, in terms of like New Year's programs.
Mm.
It's a tough one, bro. Mm. So basically what it is, no, you have to set a diet and you have to stick to it. So no cheat meals, like zero. You have to have a 45-minute indoor workout every day and a 45-minute outdoor workout every day. You have to drink 1 gallon of water, no alcohol, and you have to read 10 pages of nonfiction every single day for 75 days. No substitutes, no excuses. If you fuck up, if you eat a donut that wasn't in your diet, you have to start over. You have to go back to day one.
Don't you have to eat cheeseburgers every week?
So that's what for.
All right.
So one time. Right.
I was going
to
say.
So one.
I have to
so
beat
one
you. I was wrap this up. I'm surprised you went into this late in the podcast. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to talk about anything
dude,
besides
kind of
drama.
It's funny that you were like, no excuses, nothing. Do you have a cheeseburger? Hold the phone. So for content.
How does that work?
Well, it's one of those moments where you get misrepresented or misinterpreted.
No, it's not misinterpreted. You said no excuse, and then now there's an excuse.
I wonder if I can finish my thought.
I'm sorry, go ahead. That was wrong of me and I apologize. But when
you have to set a diet.
Okay.
And then stick to it.
Yeah, but your sheet says no cheat meals. It says zero cheat
meals. What if the one burger a week, George, isn't a cheat meal and it's put into the diet?
Oh, so you can just make it whatever you want.
No, you should make it as
I like this challenge. I'll do this.
Whatever.
All right.
It's not a cheat meal, but
what'd
we're
you
at
say? Me?
Oh, so nothing about the New Year shit? We don't want to talk about
bro.
That.
I believe you could do it, though, because you do things that you're really good at getting yourself to do hard things, and I believe in you.
Well, I got off heroin.
Does trigger any sort of PTSD from
thanks for that one, Barbara Walters. R.I.P. Barbara Walters.
Does the past month trigger any PTSD based on past experiences? I'm assuming from, like, controversy that I've riled up.
And does it elicit any thoughts about, like, fragility and
does it elicit thoughts about fragility? Great
question. Hey, man, is that a wrap-up question or another 45-minute?
I'll answer it real quickly. It's a great question. No, this is completely new to me. This is completely new to me. This is a completely different experience. Mike said it. I've gone through a little metamorphosis in the past month that I think I probably needed in my life to, again, be this person that I keep talking about that I want to become and believe I am and continue to grow because I am a work in progress. But no, it's completely new to me, bro. I'm no PTSD because it has not happened yet. I've not been here, and I'm navigating as I go. Can I end on one note?
Yeah.
Thanks for cutting off my conversation to hear more about Logan, as if we haven't heard enough about him in this fucking podcast.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Let's talk more about the one guy that no one likes right now. Thanks a lot, bro. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
You know, I wasn't gonna do that or this. I wasn't gonna do this particular episode because it didn't feel right. But you know. I'm proud of what we're building, and we were just released Prime Energy. hit my dick, man! Prime Energy, baby! 10 calories, zero sugar, tastes delicious, 5 delicious flavors, 300 milligrams of caffeine. Prime has now launched a new product, Prime Energy. Again, 10 calories, that's it, zero sugar, 300 milligrams of electrolyte, a better-for-you caffeinated beverage to add to our hydration line, ladies and gentlemen. We're proud of it. We're taking on some of the biggest companies, energy companies in the world, and you're going to see this in your local retailers. It's going to be a big year for us. We got a lot of big stuff coming up, as usual, especially if you want energy now. Drink Prime. It's better for you.
Add it to your 75 hard.
Oh, this is on the things I can't eat or drink.
You're not gonna do it.
No, no
You're
shot.
You're not gonna do anything.
No shot. Yeah, that's all. I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive, potentially one of the most important episodes we've ever done. Love being on this journey with you guys. Thank you for listening to us. Really, thank you. Leave your comments below if you listen to the whole thing and you're still listening. Hit that subscribe button. George, I love you. Thanks for guiding me and holding my hand through that religion conversation. And Mike, best of luck on your 75 hard.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. Take it easy, y'all. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.